Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Probate specialist Elaine Byrne is with us now, and Elaine is ready to answer your questions about wills, inheritance, probate and all of the complications that go with them. And you can email us todaycb@rte.ie. Elaine, just before we get to the listener questions, you want to mention a few recent cases, and the one you want to start with, this is a recent case that deals with the capacity of a man to change his will in the year before he died.
Yes, good morning, Claire. So, yeah, this case, it was heard just on the 15th of March last. So the gentleman, he was late of Dundalk in County Louth. So he died in 2013. He made a will in 2012 and he named the defendant as beneficiary in that will. But he made an earlier will in 2004 and he named the plaintiff as beneficiary of that will. Now, the later will was challenged. And it was alleged that he did not have testamentary capacity, or maybe he was acting under duress or undue influence. So legal proceedings were issued and there was then a big gap, Claire. So it was literally 7 years and 5 months. So the defendant sought to have the application dismissed. And the judge said that even though there was this inordinate and inexcusable delay, nonetheless, the judge said that the balance of justice favoured that the case be heard. So we'll have to wait and see, Claire, what happens.
All right, well, that one is going ahead. And then you have another one that concerns power of attorney.
Yes, and I think this is really important because it's very unusual for us to have cases on this. So here, a lady, a mother, she made an enduring power of attorney in 2008. She had five children and she named two as attorneys and three as the notice parties. Now, her health later deteriorated and she began to show the signs of dementia and she suffered a stroke. So in 2019, the two attorneys sought to have the enduring power of attorney registered, but the other children objected to their suitability. So the matter went to the High Court and the judge found that the original attorneys should act, but the judge did make certain directions. So for example, she said that the attorneys shall provide to their siblings a written statement setting out lodgements and withdrawals from the mother's account on an annual basis. And just in relation to costs then, the judge ruled that the notice parties, that they should pay 6/7 of the attorney's costs. And this was upheld in the Court of Appeal.
And you say this is a very rare to get a case about enduring power of attorney.
Yeah, it's really unusual. And what I would say actually, Claire, for any listener who is maybe thinking about making an enduring power of attorney, I would suggest that they might also set out a letter of wishes. So I might say that if my mental health deteriorates, I would like my monies used maybe for a carer so that I can stay at home. Or if I have to go to a nursing home, I'd like to go to X nursing home. And Claire, I think my main thing would be that I would like my monies used for my benefit as opposed to being retained for others' inheritance.
Okay, that's a pretty important one. Now, you have some news as well on capacity legislation, Elaine.
Yes, this is really exciting. So our capacity legislation, it literally dates back to 1871. And we've just got word that in preparation for the commencement of our Assisted Decision-Making Capacity Act of 2015, the President of the High Court has said that the last day for receipt of wardship applications is going to be the 22nd of April. So I think that this is really, really significant. I think that there is going to be a huge impact on our law, on our health system, and I suppose for any listener with capacity issues. So it could be additional needs or autism or brain injury or dementia, which, you know, could be any of us. I think that it's really significant and really important.
What happens after the 22nd of April then?
Yeah, so after that, then the courts then were getting ready then for the 2015 Act. So this is due to commence in June. So after the 22nd of April, there'll no longer be wardship. And instead, we will be under this new regime and we might be able to apply to the circuit court, but it's going to be more of a rights-based approach, I think. So at the moment, the law's black and white, but...
Big change then, big change coming on the 22nd of April. Well, let's get now to our questions from our listeners. And Elaine, this one is from a listener whose sister died without making a will. And let me read it to you and you can give us your take on it. My sister died recently without leaving a will. She lived in the family home with her partner for almost 20 years. The house was willed to her by our father over 30 years ago. Her partner also owns another property. They were neither married nor in a civil partnership. They were cohabiting. She has four surviving siblings. The question is, are any of us entitled to a share of what was the family home?
So, Claire, I'm really glad that this listener got in touch because I think it's really important for any of us who are in relationships but not married to be aware of the law in this area. So when somebody dies without a will, we're looking at our rules of intestacy. And according to these rules, I'm either married or I'm single. The Act doesn't make provision for our more modern relationships. So according to this Act, then, the four surviving siblings are entitled to your sister's estate to include the family home. Now, we're working on the basis that the family home is in the sister's sole name. And in addition to this, the listener or any of the siblings can act as legal personal representative. Now, there is a but, and this is in the form of a 2010 Act. And under this Act, then, a qualified cohabitant, so your sister's partner, may make a claim, may look for provision out of the estate. So I think here, look, your sister and her partner, they were together for almost 20 years. So I think he or she would certainly be entitled to provision from the estate. So I suppose it's open to all of the parties to agree on something or maybe look at mediation and I suppose ultimately recourse to court if something can't be agreed.
Mm-hmm, if you want to go down that route. Now, the next one is about this listener's late father's will. My father passed away in early February of 2022. How long do we need to wait to find out if he made a will? As of yet, we haven't heard from the executor. How long would you wait before probate is processed? Can you advise on the next steps of the process or who we need to get in contact with? And that's from Mary, Elaine.
Okay, so I would say just as a general rule, I think that most solicitors and most next of kin would wait maybe a month before looking at wills and so on, just out of respect for the person who has passed. So I just wonder here, would other members of the family have any details if there's a will? I would think if there is a will, it's probably most likely that one of the children are named as executor. So the listener, Mary, here, you could contact your dad's solicitor. And look, if you're not executor, the solicitor will likely tell you who is the executor and that person can then proceed. And just in relation to the process then, so look, you'll get your death cert, you'll likely appoint a solicitor, you will get details of whatever assets and liabilities your father had. Then you'll get details of any beneficiaries listed in the will. You'll apply for probate and hopefully get all finalised.
Yeah, but as you say, it's early days yet. I mean, this person died in February, just gone. So we're only at the beginning of April. So there's probably a bit of time needs to pass before you do anything there. I just want to come to this one, a straightforward one from a grandparent, from James. And he asks, what is the best way to leave a large amount to your grandchildren to reduce probate tax? What's the position with trusts and with property, Elaine?
Okay, so lucky grandchildren, I think. So, look, as a general point, I suppose, as regards capital acquisitions tax, and this covers both gift tax and inheritance tax. So a grandchild is entitled to receive $32,500 tax-free, and then anything above that is subject to tax at 33%. Now, we do have a small gift exemption. It's €3,000 per annum. So, look, I suppose it's relatively small, but over 10 years, it's €30,000. And very importantly, it doesn't affect the beneficiary's threshold. Then after that, there's various reliefs and exemptions. But I would say if the listener, James, here is proposing to give cash or monies, there's very limited reliefs. Now, the listener mentions trusts. So, look, these are complex, and trusts in and of themselves can attract a tax, discretionary trust tax. But the listener does mention that it's involving a large amount. So I think it would be worth looking into trusts, maybe to speak to your tax advisor, speak to your solicitor, see if a plan could be put in place to minimise any tax.
Okay, and this one is about an indemnity form, Elaine. The executor demands an indemnity form be signed before release of property to the sole beneficiary, who is the brother of the deceased. The remainder of the estate is to be divided amongst nephews and nieces, who to date have received no contact from either the solicitor or the executor. How do we move the deadlock along? How do we remove the executor and her acting solicitor? Probate was issued way back in January of 2020, so over 2 years ago, or what other court service can we use?
Okay, so yeah, as you say, Claire, there's a long delay here. So look, generally a legal personal representative and the solicitor acting on his or her behalf will seek a form of receipt and indemnity to be signed by the beneficiary, as is the case here. But what's really important for the brother here is that a beneficiary is obliged to sign a receipt, but they're not obliged to sign an indemnity. So I think that, look, probate has issued, so it really seems that things, you know, could and should be finalised really quickly without the necessity of, you know, a court application. So I think the brother here should get his own legal advice, get the property into his name. And thereafter, the residue could then be ascertained, because there wouldn't be any further legal costs and distribution could be made. So look, I would say, you know, this estate, it's nearly there. And I just think it might be worthwhile just for the brother, possibly even the residuary beneficiaries, maybe just to get a little bit of advice from an independent solicitor and just push it on.
Elaine, we always ask people to get in touch with us, and the next time you're on, we'll take those questions. So people can do that by emailing todaycb@rte.ie. But for now, Elaine Byrne, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. George Hamilton is sitting at his piano, ready to bring us his pick of the best piano anthems. Stay with us, not to be missed, after the break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.